الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Respected ulama ikram, elders and our dear brothers and young friends, with the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are enjoying another beautiful and blessed day of Jumu'ah. And this opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us is actually a day of tawbah and a day of forgiveness and a day of great and immense blessings and spiritual upliftment. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described the life of a believer in three phases in one hadith sharif. As-salawatul khams. One is the period from one salah to the next salah. And then wal jumu'ah ila al jumu'ah. And wa ramadan ila ramadan. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who is steadfast between these periods, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person forgiveness as long as that person stays away from all major sins. Meaning that the life of a mu'min and a believer is a progression of spirituality. It is a progression of spiritual development. And in this way, we find every salah becomes a means of ruhaniyat, of progress, of benefit, of upliftment for a mu'min and a believer. So therefore, we should reflect over the Jumu'ah and the today as Friday, from last week to this week, our steadfastness, our commitment, our love, and our ardency towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that way, we have hope that Allah ta'ala will forgive us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us that spiritual upliftment and the spiritual development that we so much desire. My dear friends, the month of Rabiul Awwal, of course, is a month in which the remembrance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the discussion of the seerah is brought into focus. And it is because of the birth and the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this particular month. And therefore, we should take out time to reflect over this important aspect of our life, our yearning and our relationship to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one speciality of every mu'min and believer, that there is a form of inner yearning and inner restlessness. Each and every one of us, every person who recites Kalima La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has a sense of restlessness. Normally stress, restlessness and anxiety is undesirable. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself sought protection from these difficulties and states. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jahdil bala wa darqi shaqa wa su'il qada. And duas of that nature indicate that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us and taught us to seek protection from misfortune, to seek protection from disorders and difficult situations. However, this restlessness and this yearning and desire that is in the heart of every mu'min and believer is something that is unique and very special. And it is a desirable form of restlessness, that we are restless for the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are restless for the gaze of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are restless to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are restless for the acceptance and the shafa'ah and the intercession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, every believer continues with this restlessness in his heart, in a hope, and with an affinity, and with dua, and with this ardency, that Ya Allah, make us from among the beloved and the close followers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself gave expression to our position or to his relationship with us. On one occasion, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and he says, "O my companions, I would like to meet my brothers." Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, "Aren't we your brothers? Aren't we here?" And I'm explaining the mafhum of it. This is the explanation of that particular narration. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were constantly in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They used to see him, they used to meet him, they used to make mu'anaka and greet him, and they used to benefit from all his teachings and his fuyuzat. And therefore, they regarded themselves to be the closest, and of course they were the closest, but they were now inquiring that, "Ya Rasulullah, who are your brothers?" So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then informed the Sahaba, and the companions, that you are my Sahaba, you are in my suhbah, you are my companions. But my brothers are those that will come after me and they will believe in me without seeing me. So this is the rank and honor that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has accorded to the ummatis that have come after his demise. That without seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have love for him, we believe in him, and we follow his sunnah and his teachings and his ta'aleem. On another occasion, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is drinking the water of Zamzam from a container. And it was his Mubarak habit that he would pass the container after he drinks to the companions and the Sahaba who were with him. And the Sahaba would then drink from the barakah of Zamzam and they would also drink from the barakah of the saliva of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was nurun ala nur. On one occasion, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drinks from the container and then the leftover zamzam in that container is poured back into the well of zamzam. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum then asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have seen something today which we do not see you doing normally. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I thought about my brothers and my ummah and my followers that will come after me and they will believe in me and they will drink the water of Zamzam from this well. So therefore I am passing over my saliva into the water of Zamzam so that they may also have this opportunity. So we can understand from these type of narrations and incidents that the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely ardent. And it was something which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave expression to. And therefore we as his followers should then consider how we reciprocate to this love and this muhabbat. That what is the requirement of this yearning and this relationship? It is a relationship that we yearn for, but also it is a relationship that we got to earn. In the word yearn, there is the word earn. So in this yearning, there has to be an earning. We got to earn this relationship through loyalty, through expression, through muhabbat, through emulation. And therefore the fuqaha and the jurists of Islam have simplified the manner in which a person should uphold this relationship. And every person claims to enjoy this muhabbat of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We all are his followers. But how does a person effectively gain proximity, make progress in this relationship? We know that this relationship cannot be limited only to praises and to a verbal expression or for us to outwardly identify ourselves as a follower of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and further to that there is no effort and there is no mehnat that a person makes towards acquiring the true essence of this relationship. So the scholars of Islam have simplified it and given five aspects through which a person makes an effort through and focuses upon as far as this relationship is concerned, and through this he will be able to then make progress spiritually and earn the proximity and love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Of course it is not limited to these five aspects, but these five are like the core aspects, we can say, through which a person enters into the progress of this relationship. So the first aspect that they speak about is the importance of aqidat. Aqidat means that a person must have the correct belief system, of course, because without the correct belief system, everything else will become void. So the correct belief regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be learned, must be understood, and must be implemented. And then the other aspect of aqidat is to fully believe that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indeed the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is true. And we understand this from the actions of Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, that they had more reliance in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than their own words. An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. That the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more closer and has greater right over a believer's soul than the believer has over his own soul. And therefore we find that during the time of the Hijrah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was appointed to sleep in the bed of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Meccans had now surrounded the house in an attempt to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was fully aware that this was the plot, yet he slept the entire night and he slept comfortably. Thereafter, when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked that you were aware of the circumstances and the situation and you knew that they wanted to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet you slept in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's place and you could have lost your life, how did you spend that night? How was that night? Were you worried? Were you concerned? Did you sleep? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that this was the most comfortable, peaceful night of my life. Because every night when I go to sleep, I am unsure about whether I would live till the next morning, whether I will wake up the next morning. But because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assured me that we would meet in Madinatul Munawwara, so therefore I had a guarantee that this night of my life, I would definitely live and I would be alive and I would meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara. So this is an example of aqidat, that we have this embedded belief that every word of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it appeals to our logic, we can understand it, we can comprehend it, we can process it or not, but the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are indeed true and we hold them in the highest regard. The second aspect that the jurists allude to as far as this relationship is concerned and to develop this muhabbat and relationship with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is muhabbat. Mahabbat, we know, means love and ardency, and to have a deep-rooted affinity for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And again here, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us the recipe or the formula or the way in which we can develop this love and we can acquire this love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was through a narration with Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion, he gives expression to his love for Muaz ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala. And he says, Ya Muaz, inni uhibbuk. Wallahi inni uhibbuk. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam twice gave an expression of love to this young sahabi. He was a young person in his early 30s. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told him that if you want to preserve this love, and you want to sustain this love, and you want to meet me on the day of Qiyamah with this love preserved and retained, then you should make sure that after the Fard Salah, you recite this dua. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited the dua, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, which means, O Allah, I seek your help and support in making your dhikr, in being grateful to you and in doing good amal and good deeds. So the commentators explain that there are two important messages in this particular incident. One is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated towards the importance of amal as far as the relationship with him is concerned. We are speaking about earning the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yearning and earning. So how does a person earn the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Through a'mal, through effort, through ardency, through sincerity, through working through what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam would love him to do, with emulation. And the other aspect of this dua, or the message in this dua, is the importance of the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his duas. That within the dua, one is a supplication, and the other is the lesson that is embedded in the dua. The importance of dhikr, the importance of shukr and gratitude, and the importance of good a'mal wa husni ibadatik. So, the other aspect that the commentators also mention as far as this particular narration is concerned, is that this dua, a person who practices upon this narration regularly after every salah, he recites this dua, then it becomes a chain to attain the muhabbat and the love of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is known as a silsilatul zahab, a golden chain, by which every person has the opportunity to put his hand onto that chain. And how do we join the chain of the love of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam? By reciting this dua after every salah. So, this aspect of love and muhabbat is something that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself taught us. How to attain Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's muhabbat, how to attain his love, and what are the requirements of the muhabbat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So the first aspect we learn is the aspect of aqidat, of belief, of ardency, and the second aspect is the importance of love and muhabbat, and to give expression to this love and muhabbat. Of course, we know that to give expression through our words and praises is important. That the ash'ar that praise Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the attributes of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a way of generating this esteem and this love, and to aliven the consciousness within a person as far as Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's muhabbat is concerned. However, just limiting ourselves to the praises and to the praiseworthy words and poetry, that would not suffice as far as developing this love and progressing this love and this muhabbat is concerned. It has to be given progression through the true channels of love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The third aspect as far as the relationship building process is concerned is the emulation of the teachings and the ta'aleem of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And this follows from aqidat and muhabbat. That when a person now has the correct belief, the person has the correct mindset, and the person has now within himself a conviction and a sense of complete understanding and truthfulness as far as this relationship is concerned. And that is then followed through with the love and the ardency of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Then what follows is that emulation. A person will now want to begin to learn about the beloved. Generally, when a person has affinity for someone, a person follows someone, a person is ardent about someone, then a person does not make mukhalafat of that person. We will not contradict that person. We will not want to oppose that person. Why? Because this is an expression and a requirement of love and loyalty. That I have loyalty for such a person. I follow such a person. I desire the closeness of such a person. And in that way, a person then aligns himself with that person's happiness and what that person would like to see. And this holds true more than anyone in any other relationship than for the relationship of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, that this loyalty must be such that it drives a person towards emulation. And this is where our enlightenment and our understanding of the sunnah and seerah is so important. That in order for us to appreciate this relationship, we have to be learning, we have to be reading, we have to be thinking, and we have to appreciate the sacrifices of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his life and what he did for us through the seerah and through the reading of the sunnah. And we find that the more we will read, the more we will familiarize ourselves with the sunnah and with the seerah, the more affinity we will develop in our hearts, the more ardency there will be, the more love and muhabbat will be created, and we will then begin to understand certain precious secrets of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. We find that it is mentioned regarding the writing of the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is documented like no other life in the history of any human being. However, when it comes to the writings of the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very few books have been written by non-Muslims. Other aspects of Islam, books and fiqh and history, have been written by non-Muslim authors in abundance. But when it comes to the seerah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we find that very few. Hazrat Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this point. And the reason he gives why very few non-Muslims have written about the seerah is because the study of the seerah and the research of the seerah and even speaking about Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it requires a certain qualification. It requires a certain sense of ardency and passion and inner affinity. And that affinity does not exist with a non-Muslim. It only resides in the heart of a mu'min and a believer. Earlier on we spoke about the restlessness of a mu'min for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if there's no restlessness in there won't be any desire to research or to write. So we will find that the seerah is something that is documented mainly by Muslims. And our reading of the seerah, my dear friends, is such a fulfilling experience. Allahu Akbar. We should not deprive ourselves of this inner satisfaction, of this inner fulfillment. Like how the recitation of the Quran al-Kareem. A person who truly reads the Quran and enjoys the Quran can never have enough of the Quran al-Kareem. A person who truly reads the Quran with his heart and with complete devotion, such a person can never have enough of the Quran al-Kareem. And in a like manner, a person who begins to draw from the well of the seerah, that person will also not have enough of the seerah, because it will bring so much of comfort and so much of goodness to the heart of a person. So emulation of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes from appreciating his life, going through the seerah and doing a study, a deep study, thinking through it. One is to read and to complete a book, and one is to do deep reading and thinking. Even if a person reads a little bit, or he ponders and reflects over one incident, that person will gain the full benefit and the fulfillment from that. So the emulation of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is important to the development of this relationship. A beautiful couplet of poetry which we have heard many a time and which we read in the books. Naqsh-e qadam Nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has composed this beautiful couplet which is found in many, many books and on frames, on walls, etc., which encapsulates the spirit of the sunnah and the love and the desire and ardency that we should have for the sunnah. Naqsh-e qadam Nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. That a person is seeking jannat, a person wants Allah Ta'ala to bless him with paradise, then naqsh-e qadam. Follow in the footsteps of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emulate Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow his traditions and his ways, and Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. A person wants to reach Allah Ta'ala, every one of us desires Allah Ta'ala, then the closest way, the simplest way, the easiest way will be through following the way of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is mentioned by the ulama ikram that following Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has three key benefits in it. One is a person is assured of following a path that is akmal. All of us want a path that is authentic. Each and every one of us want to follow a tradition that is right, authentic, credible. And there is no more authentic and credible way than the way of the sunnah. So it is akmal, the way of discipline, the way of prosperity, the way of guidance, the way that a person can achieve every good attribute and quality in life is through the tradition of the sunnah. And therefore the sunnah becomes the most akmal or the most perfect or the most credible way that a person reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and develops his life towards success and salvation. The other speciality of the sunnah is that it is akmal and it is ajmal. It is the most beautiful way. It is the most attractive way. It is the way that is brings about the greatest amount of beauty and goodness. And we find that people who walk around with the sunnah, people who implement the sunnah, people who are true followers of the sunnah, they have a certain magnetic attraction towards them. And all of us should be possessors of that. It is mentioned in history that Islam spread in the world primarily through two avenues, through primary avenues. And it does not mean that it doesn't spread through any other avenue and way and channel of da'wat and propagation. But these, the historians observe these two aspects. One is tijarat through trade. If Muslims trade in the manner that we should be trading, there will be a complete revolution in the world. If Muslims did business how we should be doing business, my dear friends, it will not take long for the masses, not of this country only, but of this continent and of all the continents of the world, to understand and realize that Islam is the truth. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Because sometimes we tick the boxes in the other areas, but when it comes to the critical areas of our mu'amalat, of the way we trade, the way we treat people, the way we relate, the way we conduct our business transactions, unfortunately, we find that that is an area that requires a lot of attention. Of course, there are many good business people, there are many good practitioners, alhamdulillah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in that. But if we collectively do this, and we show a majority percentage as far as this aspect of the sunnah is concerned, then we will also find a majority outcome. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. And the third speciality of the sunnah is the aspect of suhulat, ashal. That when a person follows the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he is following the way of ease. And there are many ahadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has alluded to, as far as deen being easy, as far as the comfort that a person, a human being normally desires. That deen is not something that is narrow, that is stringent, that is rigid, that is difficult, that is hard to practice upon. And sometimes people have this misconception, and it is a perception, that if I have to follow the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I have to do my business correctly, if I have to come onto the sunnah, if I have to start following the sharia, then I'm not going to be able to be successful in my business. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm going to miss out on this. I'm going to miss out on that. No, the way of the sunnah is the simplest way. It is the way of simplicity. It is the way of easiness. It is the way of comfort and guidance. And through that, inshallah, we will be able to achieve our goals. And the fourth and fifth aspect, very quickly in the last 1 or 2 minutes, is the fourth aspect is the aspect of da'wat. Da'wat means to propagate the sunnah. We should ask ourselves that how active are we as far as propagation is concerned. And normally when we speak about propagation, again, we think that we have to stand up and give a bayan and a speech, or we have to go and speak to people and talk to people. That is one form of da'wat. But the greatest form of da'wat, and I mentioned that earlier, the two primary ways in which the historians have documented the spread of Islam, one was through tijarat, and the second was through akhlaq and character. That a person who simply rectifies and reforms himself, his character, da'wat starts with oneself. The most primary obligation that we have is our self-reformation. And thereafter we will find many things will fall into place that we desire to change. We want to see our house in order. We want to see people doing the right thing. We want to see our employees working well. We want to see so many things happening. We want to see so much of change. But change will begin with ourselves. When a person becomes a person of change, and he does his reformation, and he follows the sunnah, and he develops himself, and follows the way that he should be following, then it has an automatic reaction to people who he becomes close with, to people who he interacts with. And this is what is called the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the desire of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for each and every one of us. Today, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not as desirous of us praising him, of us reading ash'ar in his name, of us doing other praiseworthy things for him, as he is desirous of us developing our character and our akhlaq in closest conformity to the manner that he showed us. This is the hallmark of the sunnah, my dear friends. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to study this, to understand it deeply, and to bring it into our lives. And the fifth aspect, an important aspect, and all five are equally important, is the aspect of reciting durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The measure of a person's closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is by the amount of durood that a person recites to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love and passion and affinity and ardency that he recites his durood. That this durood and the salawat and salam that a person sends must be able to propel a person to practice upon the first four. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among those who send abundant durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who develop the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who emulate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who become da'is towards the way of the sunnah and towards Islam. Wa da'iyan ilallah, one of the great attributes that the Quran Sharif mentions about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was da'iyan ilallah. If a person becomes da'i ila Rasul, then he becomes da'iyan ilallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who call towards Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through our actions and our akhlaq and our character. And may Allah ta'ala also grant us the true love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the true aqeedah and belief. Wa akhiru da'wana.